Good morning. I am Alisa Z. Thank you so very much for spending your Sunday morning here listening to the Sunday edition. I'm so grateful that you've all spent this morning with us and that you're going to continue to spend the morning with us, because I have a wonderful guest who has been the brunt of my jokes since he walked into the studio. But I know what you do, doctor, is very serious, but we do have to maintain positive outcomes and be optimistic. I am with, okay, I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up, Najib Al-Halak, who is a doctor with the Karmanos Cancer Institute. You are a gastrointestinal and, boy, oh boy, neuroendocrine oncology multidisciplinary doctor with that big old team. Tell me, doctor, good morning, and what does all of that mean?
Good morning, Alisa. So, yes, I am a GI medical oncologist. That's just a simple way to say it. With the Karmanos Cancer Institute, and I'm also an associate professor in oncology with Wayne State University.
What prompted you to go into oncology and endocrinology? And then we'll tell people what endocrinology covers.
So it's I think it's development throughout your career. You don't right away come to medical school and say, I'm going to be a cancer doctor. But you go to medical school, and then you go to the residency after to specialize in internal medicine. You see different type of pathology, heart and lung and cancers. And then, during that time, I felt more attracted to the cancer patients, their journey. Okay. Motivated me, how they feel when they are sick with cancer. And then when they get the treatment, how they feel really good with that. And that really motivated me. And to the GI cancer specifically, honestly, a weird attraction, basically, with the GI cancer since my residency, that I like the GI tract, the anatomy of it. And then I started being interested in the colon cancer since that early stage in my career. Then I went to MD Anderson, and I spent really 2 years there with specifically GI cancer patients. And then since then, I decided that I'm going to be that GI cancer doctor.
And thank God you're here. In my family, there is quite a history of colon cancer, stomach cancer. It's genealogical. It is certainly passed from generation to generation. And what a lot of people don't realize is, with proper early screenings, some of what the cancer patients, not everything, but some things can be avoided. Can you talk about how important it is for people to get their regular screenings?
Yes. So currently now, the age to start screening for colon cancer for the average risk population, that means those patients who don't have high risk for colon cancer. That's important to know. So who are those patients first that are at high risk for colon cancer? Those are patients with family history of colon cancer. That's specifically first degree relatives, brothers, sisters, mother, father, or if the other way around. If they are heavy smokers, of course, obese, a lot of alcohol, heavy alcohol really used in combination with other things that will make you really at a higher risk for colon cancer. If you have something called Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, will put you at a higher risk for colon cancer. So those are high risk population, okay? But the average risk population are us, everybody else who really don't have any family history. They live their life normal. Yeah, they consume some alcohol. They really maybe not a smoker, maybe light smokers.
Mm-hmm.
We all eat, right, the food that has all those chemicals to preserve the food. All of this will put you at what we call average risk patients.
Okay.
So average risk patients should start their colonoscopy at age 45, according to the new guidelines. Not age 50, age 45. And really, I advocate the primary care to start talking to their patients at age 40 to start prepping them for that colonoscopy at age 45.
Okay.
Not to start talking at age 45. Because if you start talking at age 45, the colonoscopy is going to happen probably at age 50.
Well, and let's back up even a little bit more, because I'm guessing a lot of people aren't even going to their primary care physicians to have those conversations. So if we can urge people, and I know the numbers of people going to their PCPs dropped dramatically through the thick of the pandemic, and I'm hoping we're starting to see those doors opening wider now so that people are getting those checkups. But let's address that as well, how important it is just to stay on top of your overall health.
You are right. I mean, once a year visit can really save you from a lot of diseases that that you will have if you don't go, including cancers, of course, not just colon cancer. Like if you're a woman, of course, right? Breast cancer is a big deal here. If you don't really check yourself and learn how to check yourself and do the mammograms, you know, you will just like wait until it happens then. You know, the
right.
Breast cancer, unfortunately, is very prevalent in the community, like colon cancer and even more than colon cancer.
Right. Now, with colon screenings, you know, we all see those commercials for whatever they're called, the at-home tests. I know the gold standard is a colonoscopy. How reliable are those at-home tests?
They are actually pretty reliable
okay.
if, unfortunately, you have cancer. Like, it could be up to a 90% specific. Means, like, if its test
really?
Is positive, you know, that's a very concerning. The chance of this not being cancer is small. There's still a small, what we call a false positive test, of course. I get concerned more about the negative test.
Right.
That's where it's lower than a 90%. So then you have a higher chance of missing colon cancer if that test comes back negative. So I'm not saying to discount your test, the home test, either the DNA test or the other one that's called FIT test.
Mm-hmm.
The FIT test, you can do it annually, approved by, you know, the guidelines committees in the United States. The DNA stool test is approved less frequently. I think
okay.
it's about every 3 years. I'm not saying not to do them, but do them. But do not substitute those, okay, with the for your colonoscopy. So you still have to do your colonoscopy as recommended. Start at age 45 or earlier if you have a family history of someone, a first degree that had it in age 40s. So if you have that family member who had a colon cancer in age 40s, well, then you have to do your colonoscopy 10 years before that. So that's going to
okay.
be in your 30s. Okay, so you do that, your colonoscopy as per, you know, appropriate for your situation. And then in between colonoscopies, you do the FIT testing and you do the DNA stool testing.
Okay.
And actually, more coming soon, we'll have a blood DNA testing to look for colon cancer. That's going to come very soon.
Talk about a game changer, right? That
yes.
would be, I think that will get more and more people.
Yes. I think it's
to
easier
test.
To do.
Yep.
You know, a lot of patients come to me, you know, unfortunately, with cancer, and they say, well, I just saw my primary care. They did the testing, and they did not find any cancer. And just a month after, now, you know, they tell me I have cancer.
Right.
Well, I always tell them, the primary care really, like, apart from the test that we do usually for, you know, like colonoscopy or a FIT test for colonoscopy or a mammogram for a woman, they don't have, like, a blood test at this point
right.
to say, oh, you have cancer. So the blood work they do for you is for, you know, cholesterol, for your kidneys, liver, et cetera. But, you know, this is probably going to change soon. I really just came back from the GI ASCO, which is the GI oncology conference that we do in the United States yearly.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen really nice results about a new test to check colon cancer in the blood using a DNA.
Again, that's bound to be a game changer. And I would hope, as we're seeing that come to fruition for colon cancer, that we're able to eventually, maybe sooner rather than later, look for markers for other kinds
other
of
cancers,
cancer.
Indeed.
What should people be looking for other than an hereditary piece? But if someone is concerned, what would raise their level of concern? Are there symptoms, or is it something that people just find out when they find out?
No, not all the time. A lot of time there were symptoms that the patients just ignored. And
right.
like, for example, you know, having stomach pain, you know, if it just happened one time, you know, that's not okay, concerning maybe, you know, whatever. But if it's just happening frequently, don't ignore it. So if it happens more than once, honestly, don't ignore it. Then check. I mean, it's not normal to have stomach pain. It is not normal. There must be something. I know people all the time say, oh, maybe it's an IBS, which is in term, it's called irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this diagnosis of IBS, we call that diagnosis of exclusion. It means like you have to exclude everything before you label the abdominal pain as an IBS. So
okay.
I've seen a lot of patients coming to me with colon cancer. They were told before that you have you had an IBS. It was not an IBS, right? So listen to your body. So abdominal pain or stomach pain is one of the symptoms. Anemia, always anemia,
oh.
especially iron deficiency anemia. If you have it, there must be a reason. Nobody should be iron deficient from just no reason.
Right.
Now, it's commonly seen in women with heavy periods that they have iron deficiency,
mm-hmm.
but that's now explained. They have a heavy period, they lose a lot of blood, that's why they are iron deficient. But apart from that, they should not be iron deficient unless there is a reason. So iron deficiency should prompt the doctor to order for you a colonoscopy or upper scope, depends on what is the like to start with, like it depend on your other symptoms.
Right.
Sometimes we start with the upper before we go to the lower scope to look. Changing in bowel habits, that's a very subtle thing.
Okay.
Like someone just, you know, suddenly I see now I'm having diarrhea. And it's not just one day diarrhea. I'm having diarrhea every day, okay? That's not normal, okay?
Right.
I was not constipated, now I'm constipated. And it's like it's becoming a theme for me that I have to take stool softeners to loosen up my bowels almost every week now. So, okay, check for that. Changing the caliber of the stools, becoming like a narrow caliber. That means there is some colon mass blocking partially the colon and not letting the stools pass through the colon normally.
Okay.
And then it comes as a small caliber. So those are some of those, I would say, early symptoms. Of course, I don't want anybody to wait until I'm losing weight, but I'm not supposed to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Well, that could be from cancer, could be from colon cancer.
Okay.
So that's an alarming symptom to have.
Before I let you go, because we have a wonderful patient here that we want to chat with, what are the treatments for colon cancer? And how successful are those treatments? What are our numbers looking like with survival rate?
Survival rate is actually improving. Okay. Every year we see improvement in survival rate. It's a subtle improvement, but we are seeing that because the treatment has changed really significantly for a lot of patients with colon cancer. As you will hear also a story from the patient today, one of our patients that will share her story, that how she was treated differently. Treatment for colon cancer depends on the stage. So if you do your colonoscopy early and you, in one of those unlucky people that unfortunately found cancer in your colon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, if you find it early because you did your colonoscopy at the appropriate age, screening age, then the treatment choice will be first surgery to remove the colon cancer, okay? And that could be it. If that's a stage 0 or 1 mm-hmm. or 2, most likely you don't have to do anything else, just surgery to remove it,
okay?
But if it becomes to be a stage 3 or sometimes mm-hmm. even high-risk stage 2, we call it, then you're going to have chemo after your surgery
okay.
to prevent the cancer from coming back, at least lower the chance of it coming back for a period of time, okay?
Okay.
But if you come late and unfortunately now you are at stage 4, okay, then the majority of the patients will be treated with chemotherapy, and we add to that a targeted agent usually
okay.
that's approved, you know, by the FDA here, depending on the genetic makeup of the cancer.
Okay.
You have to do that for colon cancer now to know the genetic makeup of the cancer, to choose the right treatment, the more we call personalized treatment
sure.
for that colon cancer, not just a shot in the dark with just chemo. Some patients, as you hear story today from Tania, will have a different gene makeup of their cancer that allows us to use immunotherapy, just immune therapy for them, not use any chemo
okay.
to treat their colon cancer. And with that, we've seen really nice success to treat the even stage 4 can actually go into remission with that treatment.
Well, and you gave us the perfect segue. We're going to pause for a moment, and we'll hear from Tania in just one moment. First, I have to say your name again. It's very important. Dr. Najib Al-Halak with Karmanos Cancer Institute, and we're talking about colon screening, colon cancer, and keeping us all healthy. Thank you so much, doctor, for
Thank
being
you for
here.
Having me.
And I hope you all took some of these notions to heart, because the doctor certainly is saving lives, not just every day he's at work, but of course today as well. And thank you all for choosing to spend this portion of your Sunday morning here with us. Once again, I'm Alisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.
Good morning, I'm Alisa Z. Thank you so much for spending this Sunday morning here with us, listening to the Sunday Edition. We're talking about colon cancer, early screening, treatments specifically, and I have a lovely woman with her lion's blue hair this morning. Tania, good morning.
Good morning.
Can I have a go Lions from you?
Go Lions.
All right. Tania, you were a patient at Karmanos, is that correct?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your journey. How did you end up even finding out about your cancer?
Well, I was diagnosed with cancer in 2017, colon cancer, and I was living in Georgia at the time. So I was having serious symptoms. It started off with fatigue, constipation, diarrhea, bloody stool. So I was going back and forth with my primary doctor, and she suggested that I see a GI doctor.
Okay.
And so at first he thought that I had acid reflux.
Which is probably a common misdiagnosis, I'm guessing.
Yes, that's correct. Their symptoms, signs and symptoms are pretty much the same, even as the same as IBS, because I was going back to him like, well, maybe I don't have that. I have IBS.
Right.
And so, well, we both were wrong.
Sorry to hear that. But so then you went to the GI doc.
Yes. So when I, as I said, I went to the GI doctor, and he diagnosed me with acid reflux. So I still was having the same symptoms. The medications that he was giving me wasn't working. So I was going back and forth to the doctor. So unfortunately, I was at work and I ended up passing out. So I had to go to emergency.
Oh my!
And from there, they gave me a CAT scan, and then I was told that I had colon cancer.
And that was without having had a colonoscopy at all, or did the GI doctor order that for you? Or
no, at the time, no, I did not have a colonoscopy.
Okay.
So from there, I relocated back here to Michigan. I'm from Michigan, and this is what my support team is.
Of course.
So shortly after I moved back here, I want to say maybe 2 weeks later or something, I ended up back in emergency. And so from there is where I found out that it has spread it to my left ovary.
Oh.
And so I had to have another surgery. So that was my second. I had a bowel resection.
Okay.
And from there is when I decided to go to Carmanos. And Dr. Elha Locke and the Carmanos team took very good care of me.
I see this beautiful smile. I wish you all could see this. Dr. Elha Locke and Carmanos certainly did take good care of you, because here you are, healthy, strong, and your treatment right now, the doctor was mentioning, I know you said you had a resection, and then you had to have more surgery when you found out it had been spread, it had spread to your ovary, but after that, you haven't needed more surgery, have you?
No.
Tell me about the treatment.
Well, first I did genetic testing.
Okay.
So I found out that through the genetic testing that I had Lynch syndrome, which was a genetic mutation. And I could have had like several types of cancer. I was a higher risk for several types of cancers. So unfortunately, my cancer was colon at the time. So from genetic testing, they came to me with a choice of chemo or a trial study program. What I was did not want to do chemo.
Sure.
I already had it in my head that I did not want to do chemo at all. So talking it over with my my family, and we all came up to Carmanos and discussed it over with the doctor. And so we decided to do the trial study program, which worked very well. I believe I made the best choice.
It sure sounds like it. And you're also bringing up something so important. When you go to your doctor and when you went to Carmanos, you didn't go by yourself. And I always tell, I tell my friends, I tell my mom, I tell my kids, when you are going to the doctor, take somebody with you, because you may end up feeling overwhelmed or frightened or just distracted. Or sometimes, not at Carmanos, I'm sure, but sometimes a doctor might seem to be hurrying you along, and you may feel intimidated to ask the right questions. So it's so good to hear that you took your support team with you to Carmanos, and that helped to create Team Tania, right?
Oh yeah. It was like 20 of us, literally. When the doctor came out, he was like, well, I can only use 5 in a room, and like nobody was not moving. It was like everybody just stood there looking like I ain't going nowhere. So he discussed over the treatment options with all of us.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
But it's so important to know that we're not jumping right to surgery. And I know many people in my life, some in my very close circle, who have had full removal and ended up with a bag. Other people who've had resections. Other people who have had chemo and radiation and almost every possible treatment except for what you're talking about. And the immunotherapy, I think that just shows how far we are coming from what the doctor said before. Soon, 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 we'll be able to see those markers in a blood draw. And now we're at the point where for some people, if appropriate, you don't need additional surgery. That's a great story.
Yes, that's a blessing.
It is a blessing. How long have you been cancer-free?
So it's been 5 years.
Oh, you love to hear that number, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, boy. So I'm hoping we're celebrating 5 years cancer-free with the Lions in the Super Bowl. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud? I guess it was just came out. Tania, what suggestions do you have for other people who are going through the symptoms that you have, or even if they're milder symptoms? How would you help to guide people?
Well, I will say know your body. Stay on top of things. Know your signs and symptoms. If things doesn't seem right with you or not sitting right with you, get your screenings. Suggest to get a colonoscopy done. It's very important. Know your family history is what I found. It was very important because I have, at least that I know of, is 3 generations in my family with colon cancer. So my brother and I both were diagnosed at 42. I have an aunt who passed away. Her brother is getting treated now for colon cancer. I have a great uncle who passed away from colon cancer, and a cousin who has colon cancer. So that's 3 generations of us.
Yes, it's important. And I know a lot of people, I'm guessing, are learning about this through things like, what is it? Something 1, 2, 3 and me. I'm not sure. I've never done those genealogical studies, but a lot of people are now, I'm guessing, through these kits that they're able to get, but they're able to find out more about their medical history. And as you're pointing out, Tania, you can't stress that enough, can you?
Exactly.
Yes, and you're a beacon of hope for others, for those who come after you. And I hope your brother's treatment is successful so that in 5 years, you two can have a party together and say you're 10 years cancer-free, and that he will be 5 years at that point.
Yes.
But the genealogy, the hereditary, cannot be underestimated, can it?
Not at all.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, so I am going to ask you, before we close for the day, give us some glimmers of hope. Tell us the positive outcomes of your life now. How is your life different now that you can say 5 years in the rearview mirror? Let's kick that to the curb.
Well, I can say within those 5 years, like when I started this journey, I had no grandchildren. So now I have 5 grandchildren.
Wow. I only have one. Right? Well, I shouldn't say only. She's the greatest miracle ever. But yes. Talk about a blessing. Sorry to interrupt. Grandbabies get me missing.
Oh, yes. They're a joy. So it's a blessing to be here to see my grandchildren. So I love that. Like I say, when I started treatment, my body responded to it very well.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I started treatment 1 month, and maybe like 2 months later, I went back to work. So I know my kids was like, "You're going to work," and I was like, "I just can't sit." So I got to stay busy. So it's a blessing, and I'm able to now be back into the field of where I was before I started sick, and I work as a certified nurse assistant. So, you know, I like helping others. And,
yes.
You know, being a godsend to someone else. So I tell my story often
that
to
is
people.
Good.
Yeah.
You are a godsend, Tania, and may you continue to be so for those 5 grandbabies and beyond. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I know you gave a lot of people a great deal of hope and maybe some inspiration to get checked out. I appreciate you very much.
And thanks for having me.
And thank you all for spending your Sunday morning here with us. Once again, I'm Alisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.